Thank you so much for the introduction, and thank you all for sticking around for the last presentation of the day. And I know that we'll all be running over very quickly to dinner this evening for the injury control dinner, so thank you. So as mentioned, today I'll be talking about the effect of older age on EMS provider decision making. I have no relevant financial conflicts of interest to disclose today. So I think we all know, in this room at least, that injury is among the top 10 leading causes of death and disability for all age groups in the United States. And treatment at a designated level one trauma center has been shown to decrease the risk of mortality by up to 25%. However, receipt of trauma center care depends on destination decisions that are made by pre-hospital EMS providers. And essentially, field triage is the selection of a destination hospital by EMS providers. So what I'm referring to throughout this talk is an EMS provider in the pre-hospital setting making a decision to transport the patient to a designated trauma center or some other type of hospital. So that is referred to as field triage. So the CDC and the American College of Surgeons Committee on Trauma developed the Field Triage Decision Scheme, and its purpose is to standardize the pre-hospital risk stratification process of injured patients and to guide EMS providers in their selection of a destination hospital. The protocol is a four-tiered decision algorithm, which includes things such as physiologic response to injury, such as systolic blood pressure, Glasgow Coma Scale score. There's also another component that assesses the severity of the anatomic injury, such as the presence of a pelvic fracture or open or depressed skull fracture. There's also a mechanism of injury component that assesses the severity of the MOI, including rollover collisions or high impact mechanisms. And then there is a step four component of the field triage decision scheme, which does include a criterion of age. However, the specific guidance in step four isn't quite as specific as compared to the other three components of the FTDS. Here, the guidance says if the individual is over the age of 55, that the risk of mortality is higher, and the EMS provider should consider transportation to a trauma center. So there is some subjectivity to this component of the field triage decision scheme. And previous research has consistently shown that older adults are less likely to receive trauma center care than their younger counterparts. And reasons for this age-based disparity in the receipt of trauma center care are relatively understudied. Many studies have looked at the association between, in terms of the sensitivity and specificity of the field triage decision scheme by age, and found that the sensitivity is much lower in the older adult population. So the ability of the decision scheme to identify older adults who require trauma center care is much lower for older adults compared to younger adults. And the role of decision making of EMS providers is understudied. So the purpose of our study was to identify EMS provider self-reported patient factors that influence their decision-making process in the pre-hospital setting, and to determine if age influences EMS provider field triage decision-making. So to do this, we conducted a cross-sectional survey study with EMS providers. So just to clarify, so this study was cross-sectional in nature, and it involved a survey of EMS providers, including hypothetical scenarios. So I don't have any actual patient information. This was part two of a two-part study, and in part one, we actually did evaluate actual patient-level data. So what I'm presenting here today is the survey of EMS providers' self-reported decisions. So the inclusion criteria for our study include EMS providers with at least an EMTB or basic level certification. These individuals were recruited from the emergency department of one hospital while they were in between patients. They were approached by trained research staff and completed a paper-based survey. And we collected each participant's EMS provider number, which is a unique identifier, such that the same EMS provider could not complete the survey more than once. So to do this survey, we actually employed a quite unique decision-making survey methodology. This is called the factorial survey method. This method is used quite frequently to assess physician decision-making practices as well as nurses. It has not been, to our knowledge, applied to the EMS provider population, but it is a well-accepted method to assess clinical judgment, and it uses vignette-based hypothetical scenarios to elicit a judgment or a decision on behalf of the provider. And so when you construct a factorial survey or one of these vignettes, you identify your independent variables of interest or patient factors, and the levels of these specific independent variables are made to vary randomly. And then each respondent is asked to make a clinical decision based on the specific vignette. So ultimately, this factorial survey method combines the ease of a simple survey, but because of the way in which the independent variables or the patient factors are inserted into the survey, it mimics a random experiment because by nature, all of the independent variables are uncorrelated, so there are no traditional issues of confounding. And it more closely mirrors real-world complexities as compared to standard vignette methods. So we revised our survey. We used focus groups to make sure that our surveys and our vignettes most closely mirrored what providers experience in the pre-hospital setting. And our independent variables were selected from the focus groups as well as criterion contained in the field triage decision scheme and based on a literature review. And our dependent variables of interest included whether or not the EMS provider would transport the patient to a trauma center, yes or no, and then the EMS provider's perceived importance of trauma center care to that specific patient presented in the vignette. So these are the independent variables that were inserted into each vignette. We have age, sex, systolic blood pressure, respiratory rate, GCS, anatomic injury, mechanism, previous medical history, and then the presence of coagulopathic medication such as warfarin use. So here's an example of the vignette that each EMS provider was given. So the black text indicates standard text that was consistent across every vignette, where the red text indicates our independent variables of interest that were randomly inserted into the vignette. And then at the end of the vignette, they were given the same two clinical questions at the end of each vignette. Would you transport this patient to a trauma center, yes or no? And then on a scale of 1 to 9, how important do you believe trauma center care to be to this patient's clinical outcome? So to analyze our data, we use descriptive statistics. We also measured patterns of under and over triage, and we use generalized estimating equations to estimate the effect of each independent variable on the outcome of interest. And we use this methodology to account for the within subject clustering of responses because each EMS provider received more than one vignette, and we wanted to account for that in our analyses. So in total, we had 668 completed surveys. We excluded 4 because these were non-unique EMS providers. So this is where our collection of the unique subject identifier was quite helpful because we were able to exclude surveys completed by the same provider. The median age of our study sample was 35. About 75% were male, and 73% were career either EMTBs or paramedics. And about half reported completing some type of geriatric-specific training at some point throughout their EMS career. Thank you. So here we have just descriptive self-reported statistics in terms of what providers indicated influenced their triage decisions. So we asked them, which of the following factors influence your selection of a destination hospital? And essentially, the top 3 reported factors included whether or not the patient meets their trauma triage protocol, the severity of their anatomic injury, the mechanism of injury, and the patient's vital signs. And in contrast, you can compare this to our specific variable of interest, which is issues of aging, which patient age was endorsed by 72% of the sample, the degree of comorbidities a patient has was endorsed by 81%, and the number of medications was only endorsed by 20%. So here, this is an overview of sort of what we refer to as guideline adherence. So each EMS provider completed 3 vignettes for a total of 1,898 completed vignettes. And so what you see here is whether or not the patient met the field triage decision scheme. So you see yes on your left-hand side and no on your right-hand side. And then you have the corresponding decision that was made by each EMS provider. So at the bottom, what we have here is excuse me. So on the left-hand side, this would be under triage, and over here we have over triage. So these are the results of our factorial survey primary analysis. And so what we found was that age greater than or equal to 55 did not was not statistically significantly associated with decision to transport to a trauma center. However, many of our other variables were, including the physiologic variables, the anatomic injury variables, and mechanism of injury. These results are quite consistent with our secondary outcome measure, which was perceived importance of trauma center care. So quite consistent results between the two models. So here, this is just a list of the statistically significant predictors. And so, you know, I get a lot of questions because in this model, we looked at age greater than 55. And we did that intentionally because that's the threshold that's in the field triage decision scheme. But if we break down age according to 10-year age strata, we really see that there is no statistically significant effect of age across the majority of age strata, with just the age group 80 to 89. That confidence interval did not cross one. However, given the consistency of our results, we don't know if this was just an artifact, a finding by chance, or if there is something unique about the age group 80 to 89 that our providers think differently about these individuals. And so here are the results again for, this is for the importance of trauma center care. So again, we're not seeing a lot of statistically significant results whatsoever when it comes to the effective age. So in conclusion, we found that EMS providers report relying on factors that are contained within their field triage protocols, things like systolic blood pressure, Glasgow Coma Scale, anatomic injury, and mechanism of injury. And consistent with previous literature, we found that EMS providers tend to err on the side of over-triage, and patient age in our sample did not influence triage decisions. However, providers seem to place significant emphasis on patient factors that are immediately observable on the scene of the injury. So we saw the largest effect estimates, odds ratios, to the magnitude of 15 or higher for variables such as anatomic injury and mechanism of injury. So our work that we've been doing since then has been exploring this, this interesting finding in terms of how providers approach decision making, and really, is it these factors that they see immediately on scene that influence their decisions, or is it some of the more subtle measurements that that they may or may not take when performing a patient evaluation? With that, my contact information is here. I'd be happy to talk with anybody about these findings or some of the other research that we're conducting in Rochester. I'm happy to take any questions as long as we have time.
Any questions from the floor?
When I was in British Columbia, I remember our trauma surgeons were always very supportive of the scoop and go rather than stay in play philosophy with our EMS. And we were different than any other province in Canada because we were the only provincial EMS service where everything else was private. And they would probably take that and say, we would rather have you over triage and give us everybody rather than under triage.
Yeah.
And so, in your view, the fact that they're over triage, I mean, do you find, are there any issues that the physicians that you work with? That, or is it the healthcare bean counters that would want to change that?
Well, I think we need to find a balance. I think that no matter how perfect the algorithms are, or no matter how much we work on, you know, improving provider decision making through education, that there will be some degree of under and over triage. And the American College of Surgeons states that the degree of over triage that's acceptable is anywhere from 25% to 50%. And so what we're finding in our sample is that's quite consistent. So that actually is a good finding. The problem is our rates of under triage are still higher than what the ACS recommends, both in this study and others that we've conducted. And that difference in terms of under triage, because that's really more problematic, it differs by age quite significantly, where older adults are much more likely to be under triaged. Older adults are much more likely to be under triage than younger adults. And so really our hypothesis is, you know, why is that? Is it that the field triage decision scheme just doesn't work in older adults, or is it some sort of inherent age bias on behalf of the EMS provider? There have been, we've done focus groups with EMS providers where some common qualitative themes have emerged, such as injuries are expected in older adults, the mechanism isn't as severe, so their awareness isn't as heightened. You know, a fall out of the bed elicits a very different response than a rollover collision, perhaps. And one of those mechanisms is far more likely to happen in the elderly population versus the younger adult population. So framing how we educate and think about geriatric trauma is quite important.
Question over here? Yes.
So I don't know if I missed this or not, but I think you said you were drawing your sample from one particular hospital.
Yes. So it was one hospital, which is our designated trauma center, but we actually recruited the majority of EMS providers in our region. So it's not, and Rochester, it's a quite small city. We have four hospitals, and the providers go back and forth to all of the hospitals quite regularly. So we didn't really see any sort of systematic bias in terms of who was included in our study and who was not. We had providers from a 10-county region participate in this study.
I was just wondering, do you think that the elderly folks themselves actually had bearing on these sort of outcomes? Like, I don't want you to take me there because they're going to hit me or they're going to operate on me. I mean, I see this all the time.
No, this is a fantastic question. It's a fantastic question for a couple of reasons, which is in our focus groups, that's something that came out quite regularly, which is EMS providers really want to adhere to their patient wishes. And many of the elderly population wants to go to a smaller hospital where they're known or their PCP is affiliated, and they have this negative view of the large academic medical center, which in most places is also the level one. And so the providers oftentimes sort of want to please their patients and will sort of defer to their preference for the non-trauma center, and many of them admitted in our focus groups that this is something that does influence their decision-making.
Yeah, working in an area that has that problem.
Yeah.
We see that all the time, and then you've got to do a secondary transfer, and then you can forget about the golden hour.
Yeah,
the golden
forget about like time to definitive care because you're a few days out. And so I think that the advantage of this, while it's a small sample, is it lends us some interesting information that is not available in large administrative data sets. Because we are getting some sort of insight at the provider level.
Thank you very much. We have a couple of minutes if anyone has any burning questions for any members of the panel. Otherwise, I'd like you to thank our panelists and our attendees for a really interesting session looking at a number of angles of the EMS system and its interface with injury and trauma care. Or stroke care, as we discussed with your panel. Thank you very much.